It was the very thing that really moved me when they sent that information. When we got contacted from Kenya. And I don't know more, it meant different things for different people from all over the world. We got contacted from India, and they had an I don't know more event over there. And they were, that day, they went and picked up garbage out on the land. See, that's the grassroots power behind I don't know more. And it went across to the Americas, overseas, and all over the world. And on January 28th, I was rallying in London, England, in the United Kingdom, talking to the citizens in London. The voice of I don't know more is creative, it's prayerful, it has music, art, media, ceremonial. Because as grassroots people, sometimes that's all we have. We're out-resourced, we're outgunned. Not that we've ever used violence. We took treaty, promising that we would never make war on your people. And our elders have said, we cannot do that. We cannot be violent. Because our children are coming out to witness our resistance, our peaceful resistance. And our elders are there. Their safety and their pride must be a priority at all times. This one young man, he comes up to me. I was in Siksika, I was in Calgary doing a teaching. And that's when I realized that the power behind young people. He comes up to me and he says, in a quiet voice, like he's really tall, in a quiet voice, he leans over and he tells me, Sylvia, I have a song for I don't know more. I don't have a political voice. And I'm shy, he says. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. It's great you wrote a song. And he's like, no, I wanna sing it for I don't know more. And I'm like, you go ahead and you sing it. Go ahead. By this time we're getting videos about I don't know more and people singing. They're great videos. I'm not saying anything, but it's kinda like a guitar and YouTube, you know. Strumming. And about 3 weeks later, this young man, I won't say too much about his life, but he was telling me that he had a very difficult life and that he had lived on the street. And he said that I don't know more stirred him and he wanted to sing a song. So about 3 weeks later, he inboxes me and says, I'm done. I want you to look at it. And I was like, okay, send it over. So I looked at it. I swear I cried. I cried. I was so amazed. If you have a chance, go in there and look at it. It's called Red Winter. And his stage name is Dresses. I'll spell it out. Drezus. I was so amazed. Like the power behind that song was so amazing. And I kept posting. Even now, I still, like, I'll go in there when I want to, I feel a little tired or something. I'll go in and I'll listen to it. It's just an amazing song. And then we had artists inboxing us and telling us, you know, I did some artwork for I Don't Know More. Can we send it to you? And there would be this amazing portraits of people dancing and people singing. It was beautiful. It was the talent and the creativity. And then I began to realize something. When we did our first teaching on November 10th, there was this slam poet. Okay. He comes up to us and he says, again, it's like, my voice is in poetry and I have a poem for I Don't Know More. Can I come and share it? So all of us are like stepping up, stepping back, and we're like, all right, come on over. And then a politician came to us and he says, I know a lot about this bill. I want to come and talk about it. And we're like, slam poet, then politician. And then we're like, come on over. And then this young lady, she was in her second year of university at the time. She's like, I want to say something, but, you know, can you guys help me a little bit? And we're like, okay, come on over. And then we started to realize that the creativity of grassroots people was not just in the political voice. It was the voice of poetry. It was the voice of prayer. And it was the voice of many, many people. So when we said yes to those voices, there was this floodgate of people that wanted to be heard. So we started realizing we had to, it was much bigger than Bill C-45. I don't know more, it was much bigger. If we were going to move forward, we had to look beyond Bill C-45. And we started to look at the treaty relationship that is the foundation of Canada. And then this is the image, but like I said, I'll leave it with the organizers if you wanted to look at this a little further, because this is all like legalese, and I'll let you look at that. So the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People is really important. It needs to be the foundation in which most relationships must begin. If you look at the second paragraph of this, you will find this on the website of the United Nations. It says there, the human rights of Indigenous people is found in the treaties. Our human rights as Indigenous people are embedded in the treaties. And as long as those treaties are not honored, our humanity is not honored. Our Indigenous human rights are not honored. When we speak of human rights, when is the right time to defend them? Must there be loss of human life, visible violations? Does it have to happen in other countries? I'm going to share something with you. I haven't been able to talk about this for a long time because I felt ashamed of it. But it gives you an example of the erasure of Indigenous people's history. Okay, here we go. Hold on, I gotta take some more. That's an image of my family. When people talk about the Indian Agent, they talk about the Indian Agent in past tense. I'm here to tell you I still remember the Indian Agent in my lifetime, and the impact that Indian Agent had on my family. Every year, I never had a full year of elementary. The only time I insisted on staying a full year was the year I graduated, because I wanted to graduate with my class. But any time before that, I never had a full year. Because the Indian Agent would withhold our rations, and we were sent to go to work in Alberta at the end of April. So I never attended school for May and June. And the Department of Indian Affairs called it the sugar beet policy. And people would call us, whenever we were sent to Alberta, people would call us the grab hold Indians. It was horrible. It was a form of slavery. Now that I have a law degree and I'm a lawyer, I went back in my memory of that time and I wondered, where were the child labor laws? during this time because they didn't exist. And it wasn't like we were hidden. If you drive through Lethbridge, Coaldale, I even remember all of these towns. If you drive through there, the fields were right by the highway, and you could see all of these children working out in the field. Sometimes I wonder if the disease that my people have could have been from those fields, because while we were working out there, and that's one of the reasons why I'm doing my pilot's license right now, I used to see these airplanes flying by and spraying the field while we were working out there, not realizing that these were could have been potentially toxic chemicals. And I used to think I would love to fly an airplane someday. That's one of the reasons why I'm doing my pilot's license. But that was why I used to wonder about that. Why maybe that's one of the reasons why my people have so much struggles with disease now. Because it wasn't just one family that got sent there. It was thousands of us. I remember my mom used to tie the babies onto her back and work like that. Darn Indian agent, hey? No. When I was growing up, my people still did ceremonies, even though they were illegal. And a lot of those ceremonies, I'd be sitting there with my parents, and then I would hear the elders say, "Well, give me that zuana," like they would lift the pipe and they would be praying. "You want me to know zuana," like they would say, and I'll lean forward and look around, and I'm like, "Who are they talking about?" And I'm looking around, and like, finally I got a little older, and I asked my mom, "Oh, you know, I can't get zuana." "Who are these Kitswano?" I said. And my mom said, "We took treaty with the white people, the settlers. Those are Kitswano. But they're not here. They're not sitting here. But we're still involved in our ceremonies." So the elders still lift the pipe to the settlers. Sacred sites, as Raj mentioned, that's one of the reasons why I defend, because the very first chief that took treaty from my family is buried in those lands. That's how come I came to Idaho War. Those are the grave sites. They're very old. We were not allowed to bury our people in our traditional way. So in order to mark those graves, my grandfather used the traditional colonized crosses. So it's my responsibility now. I go and take care of those graves. I go and clean them. And I put tobacco down for my ancestors. Bill C-45 is not the only bill. This conservative government is bent on extinguishing indigenous people and the treaties which created the foundation of this land. There are 8 bills and 1 act going through. To date, almost all the bills have passed. They're meant to extinguish. So, the Education Act is going to extinguish the treaty term and promise to education. The education of the colonizer is a beautiful thing. I appreciate it immensely. I appreciate it very much because it created the mind that I'm able to speak with you right now. But it has flaws. It has flaws within its system. Bill S-2112 comes from the United States. It's the Dawes Act. The Dawes Act is responsible for the extinguishment of the Sioux Nation's lands, and it's the very same bill that this government is pushing through so that they could get at what little bit of tree lands we were trying to hang on to. So I got desperate. Last year, while I was out on the land and there was logging being done on unceded, unsurrendered territories of my people, I knew, having a law degree, I knew I could not turn to the courts. There would be no justice there. So being desperate, I started hanging out signs all over Treaty 6 territory, no trespassing. Miraculously, it kind of worked. Here, next time I'm taking a ladder. I'm kind of short. So they didn't log on my dad's traditional hunting grounds, but they started logging on different lands on the other side. So after I'm done here, I have to go back, and somebody keeps taking my signs down, but that's okay. I'm pretty persistent, I'll go back.